17. It says, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and fish, flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. It came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. So, looking at the actions, we'll see if it works. It doesn't work. Did you do it or did I do it? Okay. So, do it again three more times. This is going to be crazy because I'm used to really clicking this thing on my own. And so, experiencing the actions of God, and no one experienced the actions of God maybe more than Elijah, but I don't know about you. I want to experience the actions of God. I like to know that something's going on between me and God, and whether it's to correct me or whether it's to instruct me, I just like know God's working. Amen. And so let's get in the introduction here. Okay, boy, this is, I don't know if this is going to work, but so hit again. Okay, I mentioned two of the most dynamic and colorful characters in Scripture are Elijah and Elisha, without a doubt. Their demeanor. I don't know, what should I do this? We need a signal, okay? I'll point to you. Their demeanor, their powerful presence, and impact upon their respective generations grabs our attention. And, I love them both. I don't know which one I like better. I mean, of course, I just love studying the Bible, but we think of Elijah. He's one probably most well-known, but Elisha is incredible, some of the stuff that happens to him. Elijah, we connect with fiery power. And while Elisha, we connect numerous miracles with a double portion of the power of Elijah. I mean, think about Elisha, the last miracle he does. Anybody know what it is? No, Elisha. What's the last miracle he does? He's already dead. Yeah, a body falls on his bones and comes back to life, you know. Pretty cool, you know. So, they're all pretty incredible. Okay. Elijah is unique in the fact we don't know much about him. He said, well, I know a lot about Elijah. Well, do you really know much about him? Look at this. We don't know his birth or birthplace, but we know he was born, but he never died. Okay? We don't know his parents or which tribe of Israel he comes from. Never mentioned. We don't know who mentored him or even raised him from his youth. We don't know when God called him into the ministry. But we do know that God called him, don't we?
Yeah.
One thing is sure. Go ahead. One thing is sure is that he knew God and he had these experiences, spectacular experiences with God, didn't he? The old writer Alexander White, old preacher, if anybody read White's Bible characters? Oh, it's great, great reading. He said, the prophet Elijah, there's a volcanic suddenness, and a volcanic violence. I mean, it's just everything he does. That's why people love him. It's so dynamic, you know. John Whitcomb, one of my professors many years ago, said this, like a meteor flashing across the darkened sky, Elijah appears on the scene without warning. I mean, the first verse, we don't know anything about it. Suddenly, boom, he's there before Ahab, and boom, he's gone. Okay. Also, there was no buildup or time for Ahab to give a dialogue to debate to this prophet. He said, hey, there's not going to be rain or dew in the next 3 years. Bye, I'm gone. And no waiting on what does Ahab say? He don't care what the king says. But Elijah appears and turns his kingdom upside down with one simple statement. And it's awesome what's going to happen here. I love this. Number four, what we do learn from Elijah is the impact a person can have with God working through them. So I'm no Elijah. Doesn't matter. You're still important to God. Just as important as Elijah. Elijah surrendered. We'll see the things he did, and that's why he experienced God. But the same thing happens to us. If we follow God's will and submit to him, you'll have great experiences with God. The experiences may be different, but the power and potential is the same. Look at these scriptures, Ephesians 1. Verse 17. We're on key here, okay? Can you guys read that? I don't know. I'm used to having a bigger screen. Sorry. Okay. This verse 17, it says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance among in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. He didn't say Elijah there, did he? Anybody paying attention with me here? He didn't say Elijah. So that's Paul's writing to us here. You know, same thing. We can have that same power. Look in Colossians 1:11. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. So, man. So let's move on to the number one. The callings of God are open to anyone. So hit it three times, okay? God's, anybody, I don't care who you are, God can and wants to use you. We mentioned number A, Elijah's lineage is unknown. Notice he is a descendant from one of the tribes which dwell in Gilead across the Jordan River. See, of the inhabitants of Gilead. So we know that much. So it's one of those tribes. Also, there's speculation where Elijah the Tishbite, where Tishba is. That's a town. That's why they give that, okay? But most ideas are just guesses. I got, in my library, I had several atlases, and each one had a different spot where Tishba was. So we don't know, but it's over there on the other dry side of Jordan, okay? Also, number B, Elijah's dynamism came from the Lord. So what do you mean, dynamite? His power. It wasn't Elijah's. So I thought he was a powerful individual. Remember, this is the same guy we get to chapter 19 who goes, hides in a corner, runs to Sinai, and is afraid of everybody. You want to see the real person Elijah? There he is. But the God of Elijah makes Elijah great. Okay. Yeah. He wasn't a polished preacher like Isaiah or Jeremiah. I mean, he didn't have that eloquence, you know. He was rugged. A blunt spokesman, that's why he made a lot of enemies, you know, for God, who challenged the people to abandon their idols and return to the Lord. He was one of those guys, you knew what he said, you knew what he meant, he wasn't pulling any punches, okay? Also, he was courageous, man, no doubt about it, and easily understood, leaving the word of God to convict without apology. And that's Elijah. Number C, you say you're moving along pretty fast. Well, I know. What time do you guys usually get out? Whenever. when I'm done. Okay. Number C. Elijah's words were God's words. And if they're God's words, they're not open for debate, are they? That's what I like about preaching, you know. It's if my connected to what this says, then I got authority. If you just hear what, you know what, you guys don't come here to hear what I say. I don't want you to come here and hear what I say. My wife doesn't even want to hear what I have to say. But we do want to hear what God has to say. Yeah. So, number one, the wickedness of Ahab and Jezebel called for God to speak out against it. Look at the contrast here. You got Elijah following God, and here are some of the most wicked people in the Bible. You don't think there's going to be dynamite. There's going to be explosions, and boy, there is, okay? Number two, are we doing okay up there? You kind of getting my system? Okay. The disobedience of the people in the continued calf worship, and now they added Baal worship, and that stirred God to judge them as promised long before. Look over there in Deuteronomy 28. Well, you can't read it there in that. Let's all turn to Deuteronomy 28, okay? Verse 23. Now think about it. This is God inspired through the hand of Moses. So this is centuries before. Verse 23, and thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. The Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. That's talking about if they turn away from the Lord and go after idols, guess what's going to happen? Suddenly, no rain. Okay, number three. Add to this, all this stuff, they have the calf worship, the Baal worship, the worship of Jehovah was outlawed. Pretty tragic. You can almost see our country heading this way. Scary, okay? Number four, all of this, this groundwork I've laid reminds us that God can use and or call anyone who's willing and surrendered to Him. You're no exception. You say, well, I'm just a nobody. So was Elijah. 2 Kings, look at this. 2 Kings, hold your place here. 2 Kings 5, verse 2. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, young gal, Jewish in a foreign land. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. So who really witnessed to Naaman that he would go find Elisha to be covered of it? And then it affected the whole Syrian army. It was just a little girl, a little maid girl that had been carried off into a foreign land and made a slave. So, you know, be aware. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 9, and as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, stinking tax collector. I mean, I don't know about you, right? That swells up into me. I say, slime bowl. Okay? And Jesus saith unto him, follow me. And he rose and followed him. So, hey, if he can call tax collectors, he can use you. Right? Roman numeral 2. The power of God is based in God's word. Notice, Elijah the Tishbite, who was even the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years. Verse 2, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, and get thee hence and turn eastward. So it's based in God's word, you know. The power of God's word. That's the key. What makes we Baptists different? This is our rule of faith and practice. It's not tradition. It's not some woman, but some guy. It was God's word, and that's our authority. And it gives great power. I don't care where you are, on your job, wherever, the word of God is powerful. Take advantage of it. Number A, Elijah's prayers were behind this miracle. It says the word of the Lord came unto him. Now, hit another frame there, would you? Okay. And so Elijah prays. You got to remember, we first hear about Elijah in chapter 17. But from what I've read here, if you look at the early part of this chapter, here's a guy that's been praying with and interacting with God regularly. He was a great prayer warrior. Number one, God both held back the rain and would bring it again in response to Elijah's intercessions. In James 5, 17 and 18, it says, Elijah was a like man. I'll just read it. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Well, man, he must have been powerful. No, his prayer life was powerful. And God answered his prayers. Amen. Oh, yeah, skip that. I was learning your printer there, and so you got the backside. I'm sorry about that. So your copy machine is different than I've ever done. So skip it and go to the last page, okay? Little A here, it says, God controls the weather. Amen? And as believers, we have access to God by faith. I've told this story many times. That's why I say we have experiences with God. Our church, this is several years ago, but I was embarrassed because I didn't have the faith that one of the men in my church did. We're going to treat our parking lot. We had asphalt parking lot, and every couple years we had to put that tar treatment, and we bought a bunch at Home Depot. And so guys gathered, we're all there on Saturday morning, clouds everywhere. And so we prayed that the Lord would keep the rain away. So I got done praying, and I looked up and said, guys, what do you think? And one of my men, Brother Ray, he said, Pastor, you told us to have faith. Didn't we just pray? I go, yeah, we just prayed. Let's go. So we went for it. That's what I'm saying. Sometimes people in the church are more spiritual than the pastor. Okay. So we went ahead and retreat and the whole thing, and we ran out. Had lunchtime, and I said, well, I'll run over to Home Depot, get, I don't know, 10 more buckets or something. And 5 gallon buckets. And so I ran over there, and I got to the top of the hill about a quarter mile up from our church, and it's pouring rain. I go to Home Depot, it's pouring rain. I get these buckets, and I'm going out to checkout, and the gal says, you're not doing that today, are you? Oh yeah, we're treating it now. You can't, it'll ruin it. I said, it's not raining at church. She goes, it's raining all over everywhere. The whole western part of Montana is on. I go, it's not raining at our church. So I went, drove, it was raining all the way, got back to the top of the hill, and it ended right there, went down to the church, and we finished treating the parking lot. And watched on the news that night, and the weather guy said, you know, rain came, but he said, there's one area, it never rained. We don't know what the deal was. Now, listen to me. I took some time there, but you understand, we experienced God. I'll never forget that. I keep those things in my heart to remind me that prayer's powerful, God's powerful, and he can do anything if we just ask. Amen. So anyway, number B, are we there yet? Elijah's words then became God's very words, because as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand. So this is what God's saying, not what I'm saying. And God's speaking through me. Okay, number three, God's activity can become administered through us by the prayer of faith. And so let's have three different frames here. Go ahead and show the others there. Pray is the key that unlocks the doors. Hit another. Oh, you got the other one. Okay, there's Elijah praying. Look, you know, Matthew 17:20, very familiar passage. You can move mountains with prayer. You can say unto this mountain, move, and it shall be moved. Prayer with the grain of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. Amen? Just a little bit. Doesn't have much faith, but a little bit. Number B. Elijah's relationship with God opened the door for God's word to be connected to him. Number one, like Moses, Elijah conversed with God, and God then spoke through him. You hear me here? In other words, when you're conversing with God, then God, as you witness, the power of God can speak through you. Amen? Now, Elijah had many days and hours in agonizing prayer for God to correct the degenerating sin that pervaded the nation, much like America, you know. I pray for America, you know. I pray for the people and authority. It's a mess. I don't hate Joe Biden. Joe Biden needs to be saved. That's the problem. Our country's problem is not political. It's spiritual. That's where the you can have all the laws like we have, but all we have is lawlessness. They don't obey the laws. The people are obeying the laws more than the people in power obeying the laws. Okay, and so that was free. But I'm just saying the problem is a spiritual problem. Notice a little note here. Such prayer of faith and close communion with God made Elijah God's logical choice. He was fellowshipping with God, so who else would you pick? God's looking for people that are fellowshipping with him. Yeah. Roman numeral 3. And I have three more frames to come up, okay? Obedience. The blessings of God that accompany obedience. Preaching, you always hear preaching on obedience, but we have a battle with the flesh, and so how many have trouble with obedience? The rest of you are liars, so you're having trouble with obedience. Okay. Hey, you know we do. It's because we're in the flesh. Okay. Number 8. Elijah's blessings are tied to this simple and immediate obedience. Look in verse 2, and the word of the Lord came unto him saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. This was incredible, isn't it? And so God blessed him. Because he obeyed. Notice he says, just go and I'll take care of you there. And so he goes. Now listen, look at this. Number one, there's no hesitancy in his willingness to obey except when God doesn't speak and he waits instead of moving. What are you saying? He never moves until God tells him to. How many of us jump the gun? Or we get a little antsy or lack of patience and it didn't go in exactly the way and the time that we want it to and we jump ahead. Elijah doesn't do that. There's so much to learn from this in his experiences with God because he waited on God at each move. And it doesn't mean that Elijah didn't get concerned. It doesn't tell us, but he moves when God moves him. Okay? Little note here, we often want to obey, okay, that's up there. We often want to obey, but also often hesitate in our obedience when the instructions look difficult or fearful. Let's look at this scripture here, Joshua 10. And you may think of Joshua, you probably know what this is going to be. Verse 25. And Joshua said unto them, Fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of a good courage, for thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom ye fight. He had an example of God's provision. God will do it again. He continues. God's always the same, yesterday, today, and forever. That's why it's important to remember those experiences, to know that he will do the same. Jeremiah 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. Verse 17. Thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee, Jeremiah. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest they confound thee before them. You know, and of course, Jeremiah, he needed to hear that because they didn't want him, okay, but he just went and preached. Number two, direct obedience will connect us to God's watch care and provision for our needs. Regardless how strange it may be. He doesn't tell him to go to the river Jordan or to the river Nile. There's a drought starting here. Go to the brook Cherith. What are brooks known to do? Dry up. So he goes. And understand, this is on the other side of the Jordan, where it's drier anywhere. I've been there. It's really dry over there. Okay? So, okay. Number B. Elijah's blessings come in the weirdest ways and places. This is so... I laugh. I start trying to visualize this. Verse 5. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, and he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. I don't know about you, that's weird. Okay. Now, number one, okay. The brook Cherith wasn't normally a large flowing stream, but God made it so for the time he appointed it to be until he was finished with it. After all, he's the one that controls the globe. He can make the brook Cherith do better than the Jordan. It was probably putting water in the Jordan River. That was drying up, okay? Number two. Now, though alone, God was with him, and Elijah wisely relied upon God's divine supply. God knew what he was doing. Ahab would never find him here. And he could fellowship with God. And what went on with him and God through those many months, I don't know. Number A. Since God controls all his creation, he's used ravens to supply food. Not the cleanest looking bird, okay? Number B, the food brought was the perfect diet and delivered twice a day. I'm not a big breakfast eater, so I usually eat twice a day. But he had full amounts every day. And I thought, well, I wonder what they're bringing today. Come down, oh, ribeye steak. That's not bad. You know what I mean? I'm just saying, God, and whatever it was, I mean, the health food nuts would love to find that because it was the perfect food, okay? Little C, Warren Wiersbe said this, the raven was considered unclean among the Jews and detestable on the Mosaic list of forbidden foods. Yet God used these birds to help sustain the life of his servant. God has a sense of humor, doesn't he? And, yeah. And so number three, are we okay there? As we obey God, we will then experience God in ways which could only be God. That's what comes back to what I'm starting with, the experiences of God. This doesn't happen. Ravens don't bring you food. They may take your food. Yeah. They don't bring you food. And a little brook, just, you know, I'm just saying, so every moment, Elijah knew, God's with me. God's doing this. And that sense chills up my spine when I know God's behind it. And finally, Roman numeral 4. This is kind of the leads all of this. The provisions of God are according to our faith. Verse 7. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up. Of course, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee there. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And so, you know, Hudson Taylor, while unbelief sees the difficulties, faith sees God between itself and them. Yeah, well said. And then another one, Frank. You know, faith that sees. How's that possible? Well, number A. Some of God's provisions require patient faith. Number one, the brook dries up before God tells Elijah to move. Requiring Elijah to wait. I mean, it's dry out there. We know later we're going to find out it's bad in the land. And he sees the brook slowly going little by little and find those little puddles, and then finally it's dried up. God hasn't said anything. My typical attitude, well, God, what's going to do? Come on, where am I supposed to go now? No, but Elijah didn't say anything. Just sits there. See? Number two. The brook dries up also lets us know we sometimes suffer the consequences of the nation's sins. And we will suffer as America suffers because of America's sins. God will provide our needs, but maybe not all the provisions we've had in the past. Okay, so be aware of that. That goes along with us to help us to pray for our nation and realize we need to do our job of reaching this world. Number three, but we must praise the Lord in the midst of trials, trusting him for coming provisions. He has promised, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I believe that promise to you. So he will. Number B, some of God's provisions will take us to unexpected places. This is a riot. Go to Zarephath. There's a widow woman there to sustain thee. Now, we'll get to this part in detail next time, but number A, there is irony here because God sends him to Jezebel's homeland. Nasty, wicked, evil woman Jezebel, so mad at him because it's not raining. And where is this guy? Oh, he's up at your house. He's back home. She don't know that. Number two, shocking to Elijah, and really it is, was both the place and the person, because the widows would be among the neediest in the land. But God's unlimited in all he does. Amen? He's unlimited. And we're going to see both Elijah and her faith grow, which is awesome. God brings other people into it. 1 Corinthians 1:27. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And that's all the time. You see it all the time. And right here is a perfect example of this widow woman. So in conclusion, this passage reinforces the truth that following God is always best, regardless of what the situation may look like to us. Proverbs 3, my wife's favorite verses, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding, in some of thy ways, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. There you go. Yeah. Number two, experiencing the actions of God requires both obedience and faith. And doing so will never leave you disappointed. And then my verse, favorite verse, Jeremiah 33:3. What a great one. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Do you like to experience the things of God? Well, here's the way. Here's what it's about. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer.